Good morning. Good morning. It's the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for another day. Was speaking this morning with some of the members about how we were really wondering whether or not anybody was going to get out today. You know, we've heard news stories of so much snow, but instead we just have a lot of rain. So we thank God for the snow and we thank God for the rain, but today we're thanking him for rain. I will not be before you long, but I'd like for you to turn in your Bible to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Habakkuk 2, 2 through 3. And I'll give everyone an opportunity to get to that scripture. All right. And it says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and lie not. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Dear Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you, Lord, for the understanding that you will give to your people. Father, my desire is that you bless every hearer, that it speaks to their hearts directly and clearly so that they will understand what you are saying to them today. Father, as a preacher, Lord, I am praying that you help me to decrease in myself and that your Holy Spirit increases in me so that I can just give the word the way you gave it to me. I thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I'd like to preach just for a while on the topic running with vision. Running with vision. Now, when we think about this word vision in Scripture, in the Hebrew, this word means the direct and specific communication between God and people through the prophetic office. It's the direct and specific communication between God and people through the prophetic office. And so when we think about the prophetic office, we have to know that the word of God says that men of God were writing and they were communicating as it was communicated to them and given to them by the Spirit. And we know that as we read Scripture, we are seeing nothing but the Word of God. We see the Word of God throughout Scripture. But what this sermon today, the purpose of it is to challenge us to look at this particular Scripture and to realize that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when John on Patmos wrote the last of what God revealed to him, we have to realize and understand that God is still speaking to us today. This scripture in Habakkuk says that we are to write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. So vision is vitally important, because without it, a person falls into a ditch. And we see this in Matthew 14, where the Lord says, "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." And so what that is saying is that without vision and the presence of vision, we have a lot of ditch experiences. So let's talk about the ditch experiences for a moment. There are times in our life where we were not as close to God as we should have been. We were not communicating with him. Maybe the things that we experienced at that time caused us to fall away from our walk with him. But according to Scripture and according to the nature of God, God is always calling the saint back to himself. The Word of God says that he is married to the backslider, that he is always wanting those who have fallen away from him to come back to a knowledge of his grace, of his forgiveness, of his patience with us. And so within this scripture that Jesus gave in Matthew 15 and 14, it tells us that there is an occurrence where when vision is not present, then error is close behind. When vision isn't present, error is very close behind. So it lets us know that there is an imperative mandate, an imperative command that vision has to be present. Vision has to be present. It has to be a part of the Christian walk. It has to be a part of the Christian nature. It has to be in the nature of man to desire, to long for, to want to hear the word of God, to look within scripture and say, what is God telling me about my life? What is God telling me about the direction of my life? I have a hunger and a thirst for his voice and for his revelation. It is saying also that not only should we have vision, but that the vision has to be plain. It has to be plain. This word, make it plain, is a Hebrew word, bara, and it means to explain and to declare what is engraved. Isn't it amazing that in Habakkuk 2, it says that you are to write the vision on tables? And we naturally, as we read the scripture, we're going to take it at face value, and we're going to assume that Habakkuk is making reference to the law of Moses, because we know that the law of Moses was written on tables. But if we go deeper within scripture, we see all throughout scripture that the tables that God also speaks about is our heart. He is saying that his word is to be written in our heart. So later we're going to talk about the word being written in our heart, and we're going to talk about how it is to be made plain for other people. If we see this and we see that it says to declare it, to declare what is engraved, it means that there is an action associated with vision. It means that when God has revealed his divine word, his divine will to you, and you have allowed that word to be carved, to be engraved on the tables of your heart, that is not enough. It is not enough to just have the word in your heart, but there is an action that goes along with it that says that it has to be declared. It has to be shared with other people. Other people, when they see you, should hear about your testimony. They should hear about what God has done for you. It has to be declared. And this is mandatory. It's not optional. God did not say, remember the vision. God said, write the vision. So it is an active process of allowing the word to be written on your heart. And then he said, make it plain. So now we're seeing that just when we think that we've gotten this thing about vision figured out, now we're seeing that it has to be upon the tables so that when those who read it, they're able to run with it. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms 119 and 11. It says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you. And so we get real excited when we can say, well, you know, I've heard the word of the Lord. I've read the word of the Lord, and I'm hiding that in my heart. And, you know, according to scripture, when it's hidden in your heart, you don't sin against him. Why? Because you understand the nature of God. You understand the will of God. You understand what God wants you to do, and you're able to walk in it because according to scripture, it's a light. It's a lamp to your feet. So there's no reason for you to stumble when you have a relationship with God and you can walk in his word. But the thing about hidden word hidden in your heart, it helps you. But the word being hidden in your heart won't help me. It won't help others. It has to be declared. And so for you to hide the word in your heart, it protects you from sin. It protects you from falling. But when you make it plain, then it helps others so that they're able to see the vision, to read your life, and to not fall. And not only will they not fall, but they will run with the information that you've given them. They will run with the revelation that God has shown through you to shed light on their situation. They will be so excited after their interaction with you, after you revealing to them what God has done for you, revealing to them what God is able to do in their life, that they will literally run with that revelation. They will run with the vision. And so our lives are meant to be read. We're meant to be the epistles of God. In our evangelism efforts, we have a mandate to have lives that can be read. We are to be like an open book. That's what God wants from the church today. He doesn't want us to hide the word just in our heart so that we can get to glory, so we can get to heaven, so that we will be able to do what God says and to live holy. He wants our lives to be read so that those who don't know him and don't have a relationship with him and have not spent time with him and have not understood that the things that have happened in their lives has been his mercy that has intervened and has protected them and has brought them through. God is doing things for people all the time, but because they don't know him and they don't have a relationship with him, they are unable to recognize that it's his hand. And so it takes the Christians, it takes the church, it takes the people of God to come and to be an open epistle that can be read so that they will understand God is good. He is here with me. He is drawing me to himself, and he is showing his hand even when I'm not in his will, even when I have fallen away, even when I'm living in sin, the mercy of God is drawing me. You are the epistle. I am the epistle. And this vision has to be written, and then it has to be declared. We can no longer sit on the sidelines and just say, I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to do what is good for me and for my family. We have got to be living epistles that are willing to go out and be transparent and say, look at what God has done for me. This area, this thing called prophecy, is nothing more than declaring the direct communication between God and his people. So if God has brought you through and you declare the goodness of the Lord, then you are speaking the direct communication of his grace, of his favor, of his protection, of his provision, that he will bring you through, that he will heal you, that he will deliver you, that he will hear your prayers, that he will answer your prayers, that he will protect your family, that he will provide for you. We are living epistles. We are walking in this area of vision, and we are open to the world, and we're saying, look at the goodness of God. Look at what he has done for me when I didn't deserve it and when I had fallen away. Look how he drew me back in, and he has put me on a solid path and a solid way to walk in his will. He is declaring through us, and people are hearing. And they're running with it. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18, it says, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So the command is that we are to get the word of God on the inside. That we are to allow this word of God to be bound in our heart and bound in our soul, knowing that when we have the word of God bound in our heart and bound in our soul, it is filling our being. And the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's the declaration. So the first thing that Christians need to do is we got to get more into this word. We have got to migrate away from this tendency that we have to go on our own opinion and what we think is right and our own wisdom and our own understanding, we have got to be willing to surrender to the Holy Spirit, who is able and ready and assigned to give us the true word of God. This word that will bind itself around our heart and that will infuse and bind itself around our soul to the point that it will fill us up with God. It will fill us up with his holiness. It will fill us up with his righteousness. Our cup will overflow, and every person that we talk to as we live our lives will know that we have had an experience and an encounter with God. They will know by what they see flowing from us in our conversation, in our confessions, in the words that are coming from our mouth, that we are declaring the word of God, that we are carrying the vision of God for them, that there is a better way for them and they don't have to stay in the place where they are. Deuteronomy says that this word has got to be bound up in us, that it has got to be bound in our heart, in our soul. So how do we do that? We've got to be willing to make space. We have got to be willing to make room for the word. The scripture says that, according to what Jesus said, that new wine and old wine cannot remain in certain skins. In other words, you can't have a new wine skin and put old wine into it, because according to scripture, it will burst it. So how is he going to use us, and how is he going to minister through us if we're still living in our old, if we are still the old wineskins with the old wineskin mentality and the old wineskin way of thinking that does not expand to the place where God wants us to be, where we're seeing Satan bringing out new tricks and new plans and new schemes on this world that is on its way to hell, and he's bringing out new playbooks, but the church is still in that old wineskin way of thinking that will not embrace the power of God. What God is asking us to do today, what he wants us to do, is to let the old die and to be new and to be reborn and to have a mind that is transformed by the renewing of his word. And when we are the new wineskins of the church, then the word of God will be able to feel and to bind around our hearts and our souls in a way so that we will boldly declare the word of God. In the scripture in Acts 2, the reason that they were so powerful and the reason that the word transformed the hearer is because they were new wineskins. The hearer knew the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the old way of thinking and this new way of thinking that was coming through Jesus Christ that says salvation is come to man, that salvation is here and available for you today. In scripture, in Acts 2 and 17, it says that your children, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, that your young men will see visions, that your old men will dream dreams. So if we believe that word that was given on that time, then we know that that's the new wineskin. We are to be a church that has embraced the power of God. We are to be an Acts church now, not a church that is about form and fashion, that is about doing things the old way, that is about pleasing the flesh and pleasing the ears and the itching ears of man. We to be a church that is filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with the Spirit of God that says, I will transform you and I will fill you with my power. I will allow you to walk into places and the snakes will not bite you and poison you. Those are the things that the enemy sets out for us that are constantly striking the church. And every time we move forward and we are moving and we are progressing, then Satan is striking at us. But according to scripture, it says that we will not be harmed. Why? Because we're new wineskins. We're walking in a new vision. We're walking in a new authority. We have abandoned the ways of old, and we are carrying vision, and we're running with vision. And those who are reading the epistle of our lives are able to take that word and to run also. Proverbs 3:3 says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, we are not to let love and faithfulness forsake us. We should not forget about the things that God has done for us. We should not forget that every day that we wake up, great is your faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. Everything that I have asked for, every need that I have had, your hand has provided. And we go with vision and we declare that to the people that we talk to on an everyday basis. And we tell them that he is good and his mercy endures forever. I know that you're dealing with some issues right now, and I know that you're afraid right now, but he's good and his mercy endures forever. And I am here to tell you today that vision speaks to you, and vision lets you know that you're dealing with and you're working with and you're loving and you're covered and you're protected by an almighty God that is faithful. And that is the word that has to bind your heart and your spirit at the time when you're the most afraid, at the time when you're the most confused, at the time when you feel most abandoned. It's the word of God that binds around your heart and around your spirit, and it encourages you and it pushes you to a place in him that you could not go with the old wineskin thinking. Habakkuk says that vision has to be read and it has to be run with. And why do we run with vision? Amos 3 and 7 answers that, saying, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. In other words, the reason that vision has to be run with is because God is declaring, and according to scripture in Amos, he won't release it. He will not release the healing. He will not release the revelation. He will not release the new business idea. He will not release the marriage that is supposed to happen until vision is released, until vision says this is the word of God. In other words, if God has something for you, he has to reveal it to you in his direct communication. And when it has spoken, it becomes a prophetic word. And once that word is released, then the word of God, it verifies it. The word of God picks it up and confirms it. Amos says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. He's revealing secrets to the church. But are we declaring what he's revealing? John on Patmos was not the last person that heard the word of God. He's revealing us to us now. He is revealing to the church as we study the word and as the Holy Spirit abides on the inside of us what he wants to do for man today. He's revealing it. But are we going to be old wineskins and not willing to declare it? Are we going to be those children that are drinking meat that are in the old way of thinking and saying, I'm just going to hide it in my heart because I know that if I hide it in my heart, it's going to help me to get to heaven. If I hide it in my heart, it's going to help me to live holy. But the word, the vision that God has given, his direct communication, is to meant to be released. It is meant to be declared. So the word today is to provoke the Christian. It is to provoke the church. It is to say, do you have the courage to believe that God is giving vision to his sons and to his daughters? Do you have faith to believe that the young men will see visions and the old men will dream dreams? Do you have faith to believe that out of the abundance of what God has put in your heart, if your mouth speaketh, that he will take that word and he will fulfill it. And his word will not return to him void. God is calling us from the sidelines of being at a place where we are watching things happen and knowing the word of God and being filled with the word of God and knowing that we have the ability to call those things that be not as though they were. When we are watching the things that are going on around us, God is giving us a mandate to address it directly. God is saying that my word will not fall if you have the courage to declare it. Do not allow Satan to attack your family, to attack your finances, to attack your body, to attack your mind, and not have the courage to declare that you serve a true and a living God, a God that will deliver you from every foe, a God that says, stand still and see the salvation that I have for you. Be not afraid to declare it. Because when we declare it, the Bible says that he will move mountains based on the word of the saint. When we declare it, the Bible says that mountains will be made low, that hills will be made low, and valleys will be raised up, that he will make a level playing field. So now is the time that we have to get off of the sidelines, that we have to get into this game called life, that we have to do the things and say the things that God has given us. And now we know that just like playing football, if you're on the sideline, you know that when you come into the game that there is going to be gains and losses. The church gets so discouraged because you deal with a loss. You deal with the fact that it feels like that in spite of everything you're doing, you lose from time to time. The Bible says that the just man will fall 7 times, but he'll still get back up. Where is the courage that the church should have that says, even though you slay me, yet will I trust you? Where is the courage that the church has that says, I fell down yesterday, but I got back up and I still believe you're good. And I fell last month, but I got up and I still feel you're good. This man that God has placed his word in, this person that God has placed his word in, this church that God has placed his word in, declares the goodness of the Lord, declares that we are in a time of transition where God is going to reveal himself to the church, where he is going to prove that the Acts church and the Acts movement is still available today, is still working in the church today, but it is dormant. It is like a child, and we are eating, we are drinking meat when God is calling us to a place of we are drinking milk when God is calling us to a place where we should eat meat. Prophecy means repeating the word of God. It's specific. It's specific. So if you were to see someone that was suffering lack, and you spoke to them, Philippians 4:19, that says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, you have declared the specific word of God. You have declared what God specifically says to meet their need. So according to the word and according to this prophecy, this word in the Hebrew prophecy, you have prophesied. In other words, you have released the word of God into their situation. So if you're facing something and you're dealing with something, we are the children of God. We are not subject to the things that the world is subject to. We have the authority and we have the privilege through Jesus Christ and through his shed blood to speak into our situation and to see it change. To speak that God will make a way when other people say he won't. To say, look at what God is going to do, and he's going to do it soon, and God will answer that. I want to read in John 4, because John 4 gives us an example of the word being spoken, being revealed, and that it was run with. John 4 says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had baptized more disciples than John, Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Galilee and departed. He left Judea and departed unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And when the woman of Samaria saith unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would give thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us of the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the well that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, listen, go call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast said well, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way unto the city and saith unto the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. So this story gives us an example of Jesus having the word that was revealed and that was declared. And this Samaritan woman hearing it and reading what he gave. This is the example that God has given the church, that when we are so filled with the word that we are able to see the needs of those that we deal with, the needs and the lacks of those that don't have him, that don't know him. When we're so filled with the word that we're able to see the difference between what is right and wrong, what is good and bad, and a time when Satan is trying to feed the church a lie, and he is trying to say that is good is bad and that is bad is good, we as a church have to spend in time with God, let the word get on the inside, binding on our heart and around our heart and around our spirit and our soul in a way so that we can discern what is righteousness and what is not. And when we have a walk and a talk and a fellowship with him, then we suddenly find ourselves declaring the word. We find ourselves being vision carriers. We find ourselves being vision revealers, and we are telling people about who God is. Who God is, not just to me that has the word hidden in my heart and I'm sitting on the sideline, but suddenly I'm cast into this game called life. And I'm here to tell and declare to you what God is to me. And here, look at what he can do for you. According to this scripture, it proves that when the heart and mind of a person that is hungry for the truth, that is hungry for a revelation of God, comes in contact with it, he will read it, it will be plain, and then that person will run with it. How many of us today are willing to step off the sideline, to no longer be in the old wineskins, and to step into this thing that God has said is evangelism, and reveal to people, reveal to the masses, reveal to your neighbors, reveal to the people in your job and the people that you walk with and the people that you see in your neighborhood that God has done something for you that nobody else could do, that you have a vision that is no longer hidden. You refuse to allow the vision that God has given you of your life and the transition that God has put you through. You refuse to allow it to put you in a place where you don't declare it. If you have the courage to declare it and you have the courage to allow it to be revealed, then your life becomes a prophecy. Then your life becomes the word of God. Then your very existence is a testimony of his goodness. Running with vision is where we are today. No longer on the sideline. No longer allowing your testimony to be silent. No longer allowing the enemy the luxury of thinking that he is dealing with an old wineskin. We are new. All things are new. Behold, all things are new through Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for this word. I thank you for what it is doing for your people. I pray, Father God, that it goes deep into their hearts and that it binds itself around their hearts and minds so that you can reveal what you are wanting them to understand. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. The invitation is always that if you don't know Christ, if you don't know him as Lord and Savior, that today is the day of salvation. That this simple confession, Lord, I am a sinner. I want to be saved. I do not want to live this way anymore. I do not want to live this whole life that you have given me. This beautiful opportunity to be alive, only to go to die and to go to hell and to be separated from you forever. The scripture says it is appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. So we have one opportunity to live our lives and to live it in a way so that Christ Jesus is glorified. If you want him to take over, if you want to be saved, if you want to know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, where you are, let's make this confession. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I confess my sins. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you died for all my sins. I accept your suffering and I accept your gift of salvation. Save me. Come into my heart. I confess you as Lord and I will live for you. If you pray that prayer, according to scripture, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the angels are rejoicing because one more person has learned and has heard the truth. If you know God in the confession of salvation, but you just want to be a better Christian, then this word has already done the work. God's word has already met you where you are. You simply just have to have the courage to allow it to be revealed. And at those times when you are most nervous and those times when you really just don't want to say anything, push through it, press through it, and declare what God is to you, what God has done to you, who he is through you. That is the challenge for today. February the 7th, our church doors were open again. And we're inviting everybody from this community, every person who has been at home, every person who has been waiting for an opportunity to come back to church. We're inviting you to Park Place. We're inviting you to 201 Kern Street here in Thomasville. Big brick building. You can't miss it. When you get to the corner, we're here. We want you to come and worship with us. We want you to come, and we want you to come just as you are. See, the word of God says that he is inviting all who will to come. We are not old wineskin thinking. We are not going to walk and operate in the old realm. We are new by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're asking you to come and worship with us. We will be here next week, and we're inviting you to come. If you're not able to come, then certainly you can tune in, and you can see us on Facebook. And we'd like for you to make a comment so that we know that you're there and so that we can communicate with you. Please also use that as an opportunity to post your prayer list. If you have a need, the scripture says that we are to bear the infirmities of the weak, that we are to stand in the gap, that we are to pray one for another. So that's what we want to do as well. And if you desire to support the church, if you desire and you say, you know what, I like what I'm hearing, and I want to just do something to support the church, we welcome that as well. On our Facebook page here, you will see a link, and if you desire to support us financially, the opportunity is there. We pray God's blessings upon you, and even as we end for today, continue to let the word minister to you, and we certainly will keep you in our prayers. Dear Father, thank you for today. Thank you for what you're doing for us. Thank you, Father God, for blessing us and bringing us to a place of understanding in you. And now as we leave this place, whether virtually or in person, we ask God that your presence and that your protection abide with us and keep us always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.